Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy.
All right, welcome back to episode 6 of Something Wrong with the Podcast. It's your boy Julian. Before I go anywhere, call in at 877-557-SWWP to get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist. I'm really excited because I want to just jump in with a space that I took part in. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, I took spaces Saturday night. Emani, a gentleman that I have spoken to once, and if you know, last we spoke was a huge argument. I didn't argue. He was arguing with me because I was in a space talking to Joe, a whole thing. I talk about it in episode 2. We don't need to get into that. Point being is there was a clip that went out on their regular episode, I believe from this past Saturday, and they carried the conversation onto their Patreon. And there was this topic was called pod trades, where they put together trades of podcasters to make teams. And they were talking about it in basketball terms. So we're talking, you know, us as like athletes, and we're doing like comparable trades, waiver wires, considering myself would be on the waiver wire because I'm a solo creator. It was fun. It was all good and fun. I joined the space in the beginning. It was Emani and myself. But before I get into the space, let me propose what led us to getting on that spaces. So the clip, which I'm not going to play just for copyright reasons, the trade proposed was Mel, Flip, Emani in cash considerations for Prime Rory. Interesting. And then that would leave Joe with Ish, Parks, Ice, Prime Rory, and Mark Lamont. And then that would mean the other team would be Emani, Mel, Flip, Damaris, Maul, and myself. And then Emani asked, would we see you guys in the finals? Joe was alluding to, no, you laughed it off, whatever. I retweeted this, the clip, and said, Emani, with all due respect, I'd stay on the waiver wire before joining that team, which I said that night, and I still believe today. And then we jumped on the spaces, and Emani asked, why did I feel that way, among talking other trades, all healthy discourse. It was really fun, a lot of laughs. I'm sure the whole three-hour, four-hour experience was recorded. Listen to it. It was funny. And point being is, like, I was in sports terms, I was let go. I was, cut from the team. And I don't want to. And then they said, well, there's that one player for the Hornets that got traded and brought back like 3 different times in one night. That's true. But he was traded. I wasn't in a trade, I was cut. Therefore, that means that team that I once contributed to doesn't see value in me there, which means if I'm a free agent in this hypothetical, I'd like to remain a free agent or option to another team before accepting a deal on a team that I used to play with and it didn't work out. So respectfully, I don't want to be on that team. And then from there, we continued. Actually, Joe joined the space. It was really funny. We went through a lot more trade scenarios, did a bit of Q&A, really just talked about these trades. And then Ian was also there. Ian, shout out Ian Dunlap, was a co-host in the space. And who else joined? Flip joined. My first time ever talking to Flip. Nice guy. I think the conversation was really, really kind and copacetic. Everybody was just having a good time. Honestly, I had plans of meeting friends Saturday night, and I stayed inside. I just hung out on that spaces, and there was, you know, a little over 1,000 or so people in there, and it was just a really fun, good conversation. I extended an invite to Emani, Flip, and Ian to come on my show separately or together. I don't know. I think logistically it'd probably be easier to make that happen separately. And then obviously at the end of the call, people were asking, well, Julian, did you extend that invite to Joe? And jokingly, we were like, yeah, whatever. Like, he obviously wouldn't come on here if there were to be a thing. That would there would be, I'm certain, a lot more discourse between that. This is what, and I wanted to talk about this because this is what I think podcasting should be. I think we can acknowledge our beefs and our differences and our emotional stance about each other, but it doesn't mean necessarily that it has to interfere like with the fun that can be had in these super hypothetical scenarios that'll obviously never happen. that are just in the good spirit of like podcast conversations. And obviously this Pod Traits, congrats to Joe and his team, has become a huge driver for more Patreon subs, because it seems like this was getting a lot of traction on their regular episode. Smart of them to push it to Patreon, and they grabbed a lot of new subscribers because now people want to finish that conversation and then also tune into the Spaces, which Imani hosted. So congrats to him for having that many people on his Spaces. But it was just a really fun to be a part of. And like, that's what I like about this podcasting community. I quickly this morning glanced at the comments, and, you know, and I saw like all these laughing emojis and you're a clown, you're a fool. If you feel that way about me, then so be it. I don't care. I had like a very good time talking to these guys on a Spaces. I called out Damaris. She was in the room for a hot second, but then she left. I wish she would have come up, but I get it. But you know, that to me, this is what this could be. This is what the culture should be. I'm not friends of any of those guys. I don't hate any of those guys, but when these Spaces come up and this is a topic that we all thought was funny, and Manny was playing the draft night NBA music, the do 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 do, like when someone would propose a trade, when they would come up on the stage to join us on the Twitter Spaces, that's fun. Like, that stuff to me is what this should be. It's fun. It's light. It's podcasting. Not everything. We don't need to live and die on these hills. It's not a war. It's just talking and having fun. Joe was in a club, or a strip club, I would assume, and he left to carry a conversation and join and joke with everybody. A few people that were in that room were suspending their nights out to carry on the conversation. And that's, you know, if that's what this space can become, I think that Spaces, honestly, is a breakthrough for this community. And I think it was birthed because of a conversation that happened on their show. So congrats to them for opening up a safe space. Because I said it before, I'm actively avoiding those spaces and avoiding those things. But after making my tweet and seeing how fast Imani replied in a playful way, I believe he said join, stop fronting, you def take a 10-day contract. That's funny. Like, he's just continuing on the bit. So then when he started the space and the space had the name of the space was Pod Trades, I was like, yeah, like, this is fun. Let's just carry on this conversation. Ian and Danny were going at it for a while. They got to figure out their thing. I've never heard Ian raise his voice before. That was, you know, intimidating for the entire room. But I don't think he crossed the line. I think he just hasn't had that moment. I think they'll work. They'll piece it up. They're both very forgiving guys. Regarding the trades themselves, it seems like in almost every scenario, people were trading women for women, meaning if Mel's going to be on this couch, let's bring Damaris over there. I think there was one trade proposed where both Mel and Damaris were on the same show, which is interesting because it seems like in this space, people still just want one woman to represent or limit the woman's voice. I'm not saying that in a negative way. It was just a pattern I was noticing with the trades. And then one thing that was overwhelmingly clear was Prime, when specified as Prime Rory, people wanted Prime Rory and Joe to be together. That seemed to be the most requested pod situation. Whomever else filled out that ensemble, it didn't really matter as long as Prime Rory and Joe were together. So that's really interesting that people still yearn. Is that a combination of, I think that's a circumstantial falling in love with a moment and creating, well, it's not a fictional past, it's there, it's recorded, you can listen to those episodes, but people yearning for, you know, what we say is like the 2016 music summer. It's, you want the prime, you want the good days, and it seems like in a lot of people's minds in that sphere, Prime Rory and Joe, and they call old Joe because they're saying now that Joe is compromised with sponsorships and he can't say things that he used to say. It seems like both versions of those guys are no longer who they used to be, but there's still a demand for them to be together. So we'll see. Anyway, let's carry on. Let's get into some music. There's never a bad day to be a Cole fan, because when you're a Cole fan, at least you have your integrity and your morals at all times, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in the hip hop circle. I can rest easy at night knowing that my king chose his safety and his mental health over some frivolous nonsense, a crown that'll never be solidified, a metaphorical title that we just deem to toss around carelessly. But that doesn't mean we're never not working. Cole fans, we're always working. In fact, we're working harder. In fact, I would argue we work harder than most. And bear with me. Hang in here for a second. Over the weekend, well, last week, J. Cole released a single called Clouds. Now, if we're referring to which cloud in particular, I would say I'm on cloud 9 after this one. Here's why. And I'm projecting a little insight here. I know some things. I'm not saying this is fact. It may not be true. Cole's birthday recently happened, January 28th, very public affair. I know for a fact he went on a trip. I don't need to say where. And when Cole travels, he brings his very good friends, his family, everyone with their wives, their women, their girlfriend. And when you're surrounding yourself with a bunch of creatives in a beautiful place, it's hard not to create when you're a creator. I'm imagining Clouds was birthed on that recent trip that they may have taken for Cole's birthday. I haven't asked anybody in particular. I was just aware of the trip. But let's assume that that's true. So they're on this trip. They're reflecting on their successes and the lives and the shape and the scope of wherever these things are going, which I think follow the theme of this song. If we look at what Cole's doing here, we have he releases the song on his blog, Inevitable. Shout out to that blog. It seems like what a great investment, what a great merger of working with even.biz. Shout out to my good friend and former coworker, Selena, who's killing it over at Even. The song features a Wiz sample and includes his laugh. I mean, what's more blog era than a Wiz Khalifa laugh? That ah, ha, 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 his high laugh is that of all the great lyrics and all the great words and beats and moments that have come out of the blog era, Wiz's laugh, just that little laugh, can take me back to a very specific time in my life in the best way possible. So now we have the Wiz sample. We have Cole releasing it physically on a blog. And obviously the Twitter, the internet does its thing, clips it, leaks it, puts it everywhere, as we expect. And I'm sure as he would want. And now let's look at the lyrics. Let's look at the thematic things that are following throughout this song. We're seeing Cole talking about getting older again in light of his birthday. Getting older when you're around your loved ones and surrounded by people that you care about and people that you've been working, collaborating with for decades, you're enjoying the fruits of your labor in this beautiful place, and you start thinking about your mortality. You have kids now. Your hair's not only physically getting longer, the locks that Cole has, but maybe some grays are poking in throughout the beard. You're seeing physical changes, and you're always going to feel those as well. We're seeing him talk about how the rich profit off of pain. That's America to the core. I think that's the world at large. That's unfortunately how the system is built. We don't need to get too much into that stuff. And then also, interestingly enough, he critiques on the state of music, in particular hip hop in the industry. And he talks about how AI is going to become the new regime. Let's listen to these lyrics closely. Your content like rent, you don't own a thing. Before long, all the songs the whole world sings will be generated by the latest AI regimes. As all of our favorite artists erased by scream from the wayside, hey, whatever happened to human beings? AI is not the way of the future, it's the way of now. And in like most tech conglomerates, there will always be one that supersedes the rest, that rises to the top. Like they say, that the old adage, the cream always rises to the top. There are many AI techs in many mediums vying for that top dog position. Doesn't mean they don't exist. It just means that it hasn't cracked the surface yet to hit that mainstream demo, the way in which we can say ChatGPT has become that to so many people. That didn't mean that there weren't 20 other versions of that. That just means that was the one that rose to the top. We're in the space right now where we're seeing other AIs that, for those that are in that industry and those that are closely working in tech, know what those are. But now we're just in the space of, well, which ones are going to become the number one for this specific genre, for this specific moment, for this specific task and skill set? This first line hurt me because he said, don't buy your content like rent, you don't own a thing. I'm currently in the process. I've been living in my current space for 4 years. I'm in the process of looking to leave. I've built quite a life here and have grown quite a bit. And I just need to shake it up. I need a refresher. But in that time, I've had time to think about how much money I've poured into this, living in this space, how much I pay to hear these sirens that you can probably hear off camera now. I'm just going to keep potting because this is my life. This is natural to me. And I mean, when you break it down, I've lived a great life in New York, but there isn't much outside of these walls that I own, that I can call my own, that I can, you know, plant roots in and continue my lineage, which is interesting. Every time I hear lyrics like that, I always think about that. But the song is great, and I don't care where you fall in this beef. I don't even think, I mean, Cole by proxy will always be talked about in this beef, but it's nice just to have someone that no matter what's going on is putting out great music. This is not a shot at Drake or Kendrick. We can talk about the Sexy Songs album in a minute, but I'm just very happy that it seems like Cole chose the path that was best fit for him and the people that he cares about, and it seems to be paying off, not only for his personal mental health, but also for the content and the product that he's putting out. And it seems like it's being, he'll always be judged under a microscope because he is, you know, in the metaphorical, the big three that we keep saying. But his microscope seems to be less comparative to Cole and Drake at the moment. And it just seems to be, we can look at Cole and talk about the quality of the content and his music at hand rather than feeling the urge to strike someone else down or talk down about another artist to make ourselves feel good about the person that we champion. And I'm really happy that Cole's in that space, because the divisiveness with the Kendrick and Drake stuff right now is really disgusting, and I'm so over it. And if you're someone that has been kicking Cole's back in for nearly almost a year now, sucks to be you. You deserve, you reap what you sow. You're loud. If you've been tweeting, if you've been screaming online, on Twitter, into a microphone, into text groups, in meetings or wherever, and you're just constantly shitting on Cole, this is what you get. I mean, you're just going to get good music, and it's going to be hard to pretend like you don't like it every time you hear it. It's going to be hard to give a shit as if this big three thing has any weight or matter at all in these guys' lives. But you know, as a fan, I'm so excited to get music like this and to hear what happens next. And the little bit of insight I have, it just sounds like there's a lot of amazing things coming out of that camp, and they're highly focused on quality, and they're not caught up in the fodder that has seemingly consumed hip hop over the last year. I do want to give a shout out. My brother Diesel did produce. He's had production credit, him, Omen as well. Shout out to Omen, and Cole said he worked on this a little bit too. Diesel in particular, a very good friend of mine. He is Canadian, funny enough. Canada's got a lot of talent. Diesel is an incredible Canadian producer, and I will put up here on the screen a little. I did one of my long captions on my Invisible Lens Instagram, which I have seemingly abandoned for the time being. I've been very busy. I'm going to get back to my writing bag. But Diesel is, everything I say about him is true and remains true. And this song is just another notch on his very illustrious career as a producer. So shout out to that whole team. I love everybody over there, and keep doing what you do, because as a friend, I'm super proud of you. And as a fan, I'm in love and enamored by nearly every piece of music or any piece of content that you guys create. Let's pivot. Let's get into the more messy side of things. Drake and PND's album, Sexy Song, something, whatever it is, the three money signs. I did have a YouTube live, which I went more in depth on a live stream, which is on my YouTube page, and I encourage you to check it out because that was my raw, real time reaction to it. I have a few songs on it that I like, and I will pull up here. The best one to me is the record with Yeba. That one record, it's called "Die Trying." Great song. I love "Die Trying." "Give Me a Hug" is solid. I know that's the one that was getting the headlines. That's the one where he kind of pokes the most at the Kendrick bear. And I feel bad because there are other songs in here that I like. Admittedly, I haven't listened to it in a week or so. But I'm not trying to poo-poo it. I feel like this would have gone crazier. This would have hit in like 2015, 14, in that era. The P&D sound, the tough thing with creating a sound, and not creating a genre, but creating a sound within a genre, is when it hits hard. And people are in love with, obviously, the person that started that sound, and they crave more from that artist. But when the dust settles, and now say we're looking at over a decade since those early P&D projects came out, I think people are conditioned to the sound. And like most things they want from their artists, they want them to grow, they want them to evolve, they want them to change. And it seems like that hasn't happened so much for P&D. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean he's putting out bad music, because I loved Party Mobile. I loved P&D 3. Like all, I think there was like one of the recent projects I wasn't a big fan of. But more or less, he's batting a high percentage in my book for my personal taste. But I think this album's super safe. I think Drake has the protection of hiding behind the sound and the aesthetic of P&D. He doesn't have to challenge himself. He just fell into the comfort zone, which is fine, which is great. The raps sounded pretty good. The raps were good. A lot of these slower records, like the P&D's talking about, I'm hitting it from the back and I'm staring at her tattoo of another man. Why isn't that my name on your ass? Maybe I'm lame. That stuff doesn't do it for me. I don't care. The celibacy doesn't, that record doesn't, not celibacy as a practice, but celibacy, the record doesn't do it for me either. They were just, the misses to me were misses, but I would say there are 3-4 songs in here that they'll get added to like playlists and in my rotation. But the day this came out, I was actually running a lot of errands. I had this on replay, so I really am not familiar, admittedly, with the names of the records. I was just having it loop the album straight through. And it's an easy listen when you're doing errands, like when you're cleaning the house. That day was Valentine's Day. I ended up buying a bunch of flowers and making some small bouquets in my apartment. I'm cutting flowers, listening to this album in the back, hearing these guys croon about, you know, women that they want to fuck, but they can't. And she's in a healthy relationship and they're mad at her because she has found love. But what about us? It could have been us. It should have been us at the diner at the CN Tower with the rotating thing and the lights. And what color is it? Is it purple? I like purple. I'm an owl. All that's, it's like, it's cool. Like, it's cute. Maybe it's just not for me anymore. Maybe I've just aged out of it, or maybe I'm just numb to that sound at this point. From what I know on the OVO operative side of things, because I have little birdies everywhere, Drake, this is a feeler project. Drake has more coming, and it will be more of what people are more interested in. It'll be more of the rap. I think Give Me a Hug is a nice taste. The way in which, like, honestly, Nevermind had that Jimmy Cooks record with him in 21 that became a really big record. It's like, oh, shit, he rapping. I think that's what Give Me a Hug was. Give Me a Hug was a litmus test to do a little temp check and say, hey, boom, twerking with the dictionary, like all those like little subtle things that he was saying. I get the play. I respect the play. The beat switch is still like a Drake classic. I mean, yes, obviously that was a first on the Travis album, but we all know Drake is the one that made Sicko Mode what Sicko Mode was. I think we can be honest at this point. So hearing him utilize the beat switch again, hearing him on the same record telling girls to stop twerking, but the first half of that record is him like begging for a hug. Like, it's all of Drake's, that was Drake's symbolism. That was just him in one bag. It was just, if you could put a cocoon around his career, it's him crying to get a hug from a stripper and wanting love and attention, to then a beat switch and him rapping his ass off and getting in rappers' asses and just barring down people and talking that greasy shit. Which is cool. I like that. It's the best of both Drake's in one track. When I first heard it, I thought it was a different song. I thought the song had ended and it had gone to the next one, kind of the way in which most of us probably thought Sicko Mode was. But overall, a solid project. Will it be crazy heavy in my rotation? No. I don't even care to talk about the first week numbers. Who gives a shit? Again, stop weaponizing numbers that don't mean anything. Do you like the album? Then save it. If you don't like it, then skip it. That day, I ended up listening to that album probably 3 times in a row, and then I made these bouquets, changed, went to the gym, listened to GNX while I was working out. That's the beauty of music. Guess what? You can like everybody. I listened to Drake for fucking 3 hours, went to the gym, I was LA all of a sudden, listening to Kendrick and hit a J3 and all these fun. Who, like, just listen to what you like. Do not let these correspondents and pundits that don't know shit influence your your taste. Just be yourself and enjoy. If you like it all, enjoy it all. If you don't like it all, choose who you want and support that person. I promise everything will be fine. They all have more music coming. Judge it however you will. What's next, guys? What else can we talk about? Oh, my man. This is so fun to me. I have NBA All-Star Weekend happen, and I don't want to spend too much time on it because it was awful. The new format sucks. The challenges were awful. Chris Paul obviously got in Wembanyama's ear and told him, look, I can game the system. I'm the smartest guy that's ever touched a ball. And then they did that little cheat thing, which was cute until they got disqualified. The chaos of the NBA All-Star Week, they need to figure it out because the league is bad. The league is not. The product's trash. It's a hero ball. It's three-point ball. The Celtics are the best team in the league, but they average more than half their shots are three-pointers. We don't need to get into the nitty-gritty of it. I could talk basketball all day. There's this new series that came out about the Olympic team. I believe it's on Netflix. And like most things, when Anthony Edwards is involved, he is the star. Whenever he's in front of the camera, he's the runaway superstar. And there's an amazing video of him going around with Obama, going to Obama and referring to himself as the truth. And then you see LeBron and KD and all these other vets just staring at Ant like, oh no, what's this dude about to say? Why is he doing this? Why is Ant so abrasive? Why is he so... These are the people that the league needs. These are the people that we... Anthony Edwards is the kind of guy, if I'm a kid and I see him do that, that guy by default becomes my hero, becomes my idol. And this is when I was younger, the same things I thought about Kanye when you'd hear the early stories of Kanye kicking in the door at record labels and playing his records and making executives like force feeding them his records. And even when they said no, he's like, fuck it, I'll do it on my own. To me, Anthony Edwards is that of the NBA because Anthony Edwards, if you're a kid and you're seeing him talk to the president, a former president in that way, you're like, there's no way. You want your heroes to be like so unobtainable and seem so far beyond like breaking social structure, breaking decorum and like just the rules that come with talking to someone, a former United States president. Ant just meets him and just immediately just treats him like you're talking outside the park on a ball. I'm the truth. Joel Embiid saying, yeah, he's good. He's okay. No, I'm the truth. That's the kind of person you want to look up to. That's the kind of person you idolize. I think the NBA has the talent and has the people, has the chips that they need to get ratings back up. It's not a lack of quality of players. It's just the style of play is ass. But you have people like John Morant. You have people like Anthony Edwards. You have even like these young guys. Like you have Victor Wembanyama. You have guys that are exciting, that are freaks of nature, that are have built up bravado. Anthony Edwards talks shit to LeBron. The only person he respects in this league is Kevin Durant. You have the people there. Just the game itself needs to become a better product, and I'm not a person that knows how to do that, but I did want to call out that Anthony Edwards Obama clip is one of the best things that's been circulating online. It's a great laugh. If you don't know who he is, watch that clip. You'll understand who he is in 10 seconds. We're going to pivot to politics really quickly because as someone that I can't stand and I seemingly continue to talk about, isn't that how life works? Elon Musk just released another version of Grok 3, and the latest version of his own software, his own AI, which if you're not familiar, Grok is a software that, can legit, like, it reads tweets, reads, most importantly, is utilized for news and political pundits, can scrub their, say the tweet is about the migrant crisis in New York City, and they say, you know, over 100,000 people, da-da-da-da. What Grok does is it'll read that tweet, scrub the internet, and then provide context of what in that tweet, what in the original tweet is real, what is false, what claims are truth. It pretty much gives you the breakdown of, is this a legitimate claim or not? And if not, here's why. We'll provide the context of why this is wrong. That being said, Elon is no stranger to just spewing bullshit and lying all the time. So Grok, which is why tech is amazing, because tech doesn't, and AI doesn't pick favorites. Everyone's equal. So Grok was used basically against him. Here's a headline. Elon Musk AI bot Grok finds over half of his tweets false or misleading. Disses him as a, quote, mogul with a microphone. So Grok even put a little spin on it, you know, talking greasy about its own creator. So basically this went viral after this guy on Twitter, Isaac Saul, tweeted, I asked at Grok to analyze the last 1,000 posts from Elon Musk for truth and veracity. More than half of what Eli posts on X is false or misleading, while most of the, quote, truth posts are simply updates about his company. And then he posted screenshots from the actual Grok messages themselves. The dangers of, well, here we go. Here's a little more information. The specific breakdown of was 48% true, 22% false, and 30% misleading or ill-informed. Grok's analysis, especially brutal, noticed the red flag of numbers of false posts of his, quote, habit of firing off hot takes or amplifying unverified stuff, especially on politics, which is where most of the trouble lies, end quote. Musk is, quote, not a primary source you can bank on without cross-checking, Grok added. These are in the words of Grok, the AI itself. Community notes were also able to catch red flags. Before Grok, there were community notes added. Point being is Elon's just spewing bullshit. He's full of shit. He's always been full of shit. But that's the thing. That's who he is. But the problem is the person that he is has access to and is standing in the White House and has a microphone in the Oval Office and is speaking to the American people, an unelected person. Elon is not an elected official. He's just an advisor. And he is standing in the Oval Office with his kid. He's in this, you know, breaking dress code, and he's all black with the black dark winged duck MAGA hat, whatever the hell he says. And he's speaking on behalf of Trump, who's sitting at the desk, and he's becoming quite literally his mouthpiece. And I really want to hang up and suspend my political affiliations aside and my preference for people in politics. Just optically, you don't even have to care about politics or understand what's going on currently politically to understand that the image of a man that's not an elected official speaking from the highest point of office with next to the highest man appointed in the land as a mouthpiece, that's not good. That's a really, really bad look. And that shows that our system, it's fractured. There's a chink in the armor, because why isn't Trump the man leading these press conferences? Why isn't Trump? And also, it's not like we're talking about a lame duck president. It's not like we're talking about Joe Biden, who could barely muster up. We're not doing that. Trump's coherent. Seemingly, he could speak. They're all jacked up on a cocktail of drugs. But point is, Trump's cocktail is fucking fantastic. He's there. He's all there. And he's still deferring to a man that clearly has a ketamine drip or something just hooked up to his chest. That is, I mean, did you guys see Elon Musk with the chainsaw at CPAC? I mean, what was that about? What is that? This is not a man that has all of his mental faculties. He's wearing black sunglasses. He's got the MAGA Darkwing hat again, like what looks like a band t-shirt under a peacoat with a red chainsaw. There's like one or two circumstances where a chainsaw is appropriate, like if you're working on a lumber yard, or if you're in your backyard chopping some trees, or, you know, or if you're at the circus and you're one of those like 1 in 10 people that can juggle chainsaws. Outside of those settings, why is a chainsaw at a conference? CPAC is a conservative political action conference. Why is a chainsaw on the rider? This man is not stable. He's not okay. It's really, really difficult to watch this dude just rake in money. Billions, billions, billions upon billions of dollars profiting for himself, which is always going to be his interest. He's a businessman, as is Trump. Their interest is always going to lie within themselves and their own personal equity and wealth rising, which is what's happening. That is literally happening. You can see it. But it's dangerous when Elon used to be a funny billion, never really funny, but just like a quirky techie guy in the background, but now it seems like his new mission statement is to be liked and to be cool. And I think the problem is because Trump has given him so much grace and so much power to even speak on his behalf that we'll see in the primaries. I think this could shoot Trump in the foot. I think left and right sides of the political spectrum do not like Elon. Very few people like Elon. And I think Trump, as the cutthroat businessman that he is, talking about the apprentice days in particular on TV, he'll fire him or demote him to a more restricted position where he is less vocal and less camera facing and less public forward. And I think that's a conversation that needs to happen soon. I think it's a conversation that will happen. I think politics are always polling. They will always have new data. They'll always have new political trends and favorability charts. And I think when Trump's favorability begins to dip, it will be because of things that he's doing, because a lot of stuff that he's doing is rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. But I think it'll also have to do in part with Elon being this person that he's continuing to put in these positions. I don't think Elon speaks on behalf of the demo that Trump, that loves Trump. Elon's, he's a South African. He's not even American. He's not American. He's a billionaire. Like he's everything. He's the embodiment of everything that a true blue blood American hates. So I think there was enough of a pass for them to back him because Trump said they should back him and give him the okay. But I think now seeing all these things and seeing how Elon's clearly on some chemical, he can barely speak. That video of him doing the interview at CPAC, I want to be a living meme. He's lost himself. He's chasing celebrity, which is a dangerous drug in itself because that's a high that'll never wear off or go away in the sense that you can't cap it. There's always more to gain. There's always more to be known or loved for. And I think that's going to be the thing that ultimately is what brings him down, is that drug. So we'll see. I'm monitoring this stuff very closely. I think it's extremely interesting. And I think the man that Trump is, he will, when it matters, decide to pull the plug on his relationship with Elon. Do not be shocked if and when that happens, because I think it's inevitable. I think Elon's already done a lot that a lot of people didn't approve of. The handling of Vivek, basically just at boxing him out of the picture once he realized a little bit of pushback, and all the other people that Elon is seemingly clipping their wings to continue to soar for himself. So let's keep a close eye on that. All right, it's that time of the episode. Let's get into some voicemails. Reminder, call 877-557-SWWP to get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist. I love that song. All right, here we go.
Hey, Julian, man. How's it going? My name's Jason from Charlotte. So basically, I'm 28 years old.
Shout out Charlotte. Shout out Clay.
Have a great career. I'm a software engineer for a big bank. I'm very fortunate to be working for the company for 5 years. And so, but I'm looking for a move. I'm looking for a move to a new city, somewhere exciting. And I know you used to live in Chicago. Chicago is one of the cities that I've wanted to move to.
True.
Or DC. As a black man, you know, there's a lot of factors that, you know, go into moving to a new city, you know, like what's the racism like and all that shit and job outlook and things like that. But also, what about the women? You know what I'm saying? Like, what would you say is the best city that has the prettiest women? I'm trying to date, trying to find a partner, trying to lock down, you know what I'm saying? 28, like, I'm getting up there. You know, I'm trying to find, you know, somebody I can, you know, spend forever with.
True.
So what's your opinion on Chicago women or DC women or any women in any city? Like, what do you think is like the top 3 to 5 best cities with the prettiest women, in your opinion? Yeah, let me know. Thanks.
Okay, interesting. Chicago's tough because Chicago is, like a lot of major cities in this country, incredibly segregated. So you can have very different experiences in Chicago, where on like the West Side, it's like a very strong Hispanic population and some Black, South Side, all Black. Like the schools I taught in, the schools my friends used to teach when I lived in Chicago, it was like 99% Black. There were two students that shared the same name in my school, for anonymity's sake. Let's call them, let's say Sandra. And there was Sandra who had a darker skin and Sandra with lighter skin. And we just called the lighter one light skin Sandra. Like that's how, if we had two students with the same name, their identifier would just be who of the two is lighter. We would just call them light skin, fill in the name. So, I said to say Chicago is diverse and it's not diverse. It's not the city doesn't encourage mixing of cultures and mixing of diversity, although it does exist. Like Chicago, the West Side is very Polish, and there's like a lot of Polish food, but you won't find that food, say like in River North or like Old Town. In the, sounds like the industry that you're in and the money that you have, like say you wanted to live in like the downtown Chicago area, River North, Old Town, like those neighborhoods, those are very white. And it's, you know, Chicago at the end of the day is in the Midwest. It's a lot of, you know, it's pulling from schools like your University of Michigan's, your Indiana universities, Michigan State, Wisconsin. It's just like the girl that grew up on a farm, went to like a high school with 500 kids, then went to like the big uni in the state. And then they all pour into Chicago because it's an hour and a half, 2 hours from home. Nothing's ever too far from home. I need to be close to my parents everywhere I go. That's the demo. And if you're into that, there's nothing wrong with that. I will say from my experience, like the Chicago women are there. You're like that. That's your Midwest girl. Like that's the Midwest. I'm comfortable. This is my experiment. The big cities, my experiment. They may have gone to Chicago once or twice when they were kids, but this is their big move away from home moment. And to me, that doesn't do it. Like that crowd doesn't necessarily do it. It sounds like you want a Black woman. I would go out less in those areas, less the further north you go, the whiter it gets. I would stay like South Loop, the West Side. If you want to see a diverse crowd, go out on the West Side, like a Wicker Park comparatively. I know you're from Charlotte, but comparatively here is like a Bushwicky Brooklyn vibe. And there's where you'll see more diversity, more like a hip hop music playing, less like Mr. Brightside and like cover bands, more like Boiler Room aesthetic and DJ sets, which are fun. You try the different neighborhoods. Chicago does a good job of showing you exactly what it is the minute you walk in. And if it's not for you, just switch it up. But you can have very different experiences in Chicago. Women are pretty. It's just a matter of what you want them to like. What do you expect from them? Do you want worldly women? Probably not Chicago. That brings me to DC. DC for me personally, I hate DC. In short, I don't like politics, even though I care a lot about politics, and I don't like consulting or like whatever the fuck that. I don't know what that even know what that means. Like that's the consulting work in politics is like that. That's this nature of DC. It's also DC is extremely transient, meaning no one ever lives there for more than like 2 or 3 years. It's like a revolving door. Everyone works for the government. If you're working with a government official and they lose, you go back home or you move to another country or you rinse and repeat and try another official. Your work in DC is your life. And that scares me with the people in DC because those are conversations, those are sensitive topics, and those are things that I don't care to talk about with a lot of people. But that being said, DC, because there are diplomatic officials, there are people representing multiple countries all over the world, DC is very diverse. The city itself, known as Chocolate City, beautiful. DC is filled with beautiful Black women. The women that are just from the DC area are diverse. And then obviously you're adding in the, you know, mixed bag of the women pulling from all over the world that are coming to DC. if you're into politics, I would say like if you're into those conversations and into those people that think that way. I know you seem like you're more in the software engineering world. Opposites attract. I think that could be an interesting mix. You're the engineer. I think that's a pretty common couple, the engineer brain and the political like poli-sci brain merging. I have better things to say about the city of Chicago, but the people I would say of DC are more diverse and probably more interesting than like your average worker in Chicago. I can talk extensively about how each city bothers me in certain ways, but I think for you, I would maybe lean on DC for now. I think in terms of my top cities for women, like any city, you have to go where the money is. The money's in New York. I think if you want to keep it short, if you want to look, quote, bad women, if you want the hot chick, this city is where there's a successful and thriving modeling agencies, where actors and actresses flock. It's L.A. We can just shelf L.A. Leave them out of this. New York is that. New York is there's a beauty and elegance to New York. Even the wealth here is the way it's carried. It's usually older money, and it's a little classier, a little more dressed up. I like. I don't like young, flashy money. Miami money is gross to me. Gaudy jewelry, tacky shoes with like spikes or exposed belts, shirts that are hugging your tequila beer gut tucked into a belt buckle that you seem to have far too much pride in. That energy is not for me. Gold bottles, clubs. I've done it all. I'm not saying I'm above it. I've done club nights. I've done the 11s in Miami. I've done the gold rushes. I've done all those places, but it's just I've done it to see it, to be exposed to it, and I've also realized really quickly like these aren't my spaces. The women are beautiful because a lot of beautiful women go to those things, but then you're also looking at women that are a little more vapid, a little more, you know, shallow, and you don't want to spend your time with someone that just wants you to just pour money into them. You said you're doing well, you said that you have a successful career. You don't want to waste your hard-earned money on just a girl that doesn't care about you as a substantial person and only wants you to cover their shitty bottle of vodka that retails for $50, but in the club costs $1,500. I mean, that's just fiscally irresponsible. It's stupid. You sound like you're smarter than that. Miami women, beautiful. As a city, no, you don't want to live there. No one goes to Miami to make money. You go there to spend money. New York, say what you want about New York. The news doesn't do a good job of making New York sound like this amazing place. And New York has its flaws, but it's come on, the reason why people shit on it so much is because you're not here. Come to New York. It's the best option of any of these cities. Where else? I really don't know where else I would recommend. To be honest, I'm not someone that would like to even live here. If it's not New York, I don't know if I'd live in the States at this phase of my life. I would entertain living abroad, which would be to what you're saying, a more localized version of like picking a style, a type of women that you want if you want to go to the city for that reason. But it sounds like you're in a space of your life. Shake it up, man. It's exciting. Move. Before you move to any of these cities, travel. Visit friends if you have friends. If not, rip a solo trip, man. The good thing about being a man in this country is you can travel alone. You said, what's the best city for a black man in this country? There is no good city for a black person in this country. How about that? America's back. Trump did it. He made it everywhere. It's unsafe for black people. It's always been the case, but now at least they're more open and honest about it. So if you're looking for a safe haven for black people, it's not America. You can try Atlanta, but then you'd have your booty hole. That's not a safe haven for your ass. You know, you just give it a shot. There are beautiful women in Atlanta too. I don't want to shit on Atlanta too much. Congrats, man. Shake it up. Hit the road. Get out there. Let's do one more call. Actually, we're having our first follow-up. This is Brandon. He's calling back to give us an update. Let's see what he's got.
Yo, what up, Julian? It's Brandon. I called a couple weeks ago about the whole job and my mom and kind of just being stressed out.
Remember, guys, Brandon called because his mom got him a job that he did not feel qualified for. And he said, I feel like she's about to get fired. And when she gets fired, I'm probably going to get fired. And he was just kind of stressing about what's next for him. So let's continue.
Calling with a follow-up, you know, I want to say thank you. You know, I think you were right. I very much leaned into just kind of going with the flow and not really worrying, you know. I'm still with the company. My mom did get fired like that a couple days after.
It feels weird celebrating, but you're still there. You still have your job. Congrats to you. Damn, sorry, mom, but let's see how this goes.
But it's actually going really well. I think it was a lot more imposter syndrome than it was really me not knowing what the fuck's going on. But no, I really appreciate it. You know, I fuck with the podcast. Keep doing your thing, man. And fucking, I appreciate it. Peace.
Brandon, thanks for calling back, man. First follow-up. Dude, I'm happy for you. Your mom, she's a soldier. She'll figure it out, man. But let's focus on you. Let's celebrate you. The imposter syndrome's wearing off. You're digging in. You're getting the work done. I don't know how many weeks it's been since you've had this job, but it's been at least a week since we called last. You're doing it. Each week that goes by, you're going to become better at it, and I'm really happy for you. And like you said, from what I remember, you're making good money. You're making money you weren't making before. And save that money, bro. Keep that bread for a rainy day, because it could always be lingering, but you don't need to stress about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and it seems like they're recognizing your hard work. Keep it up. Awesome, guys. Well, shit. Thank you, everybody. It's week six. We're approaching almost 2 months of the show. I'm in a much better place. I'll give you an update on my life to some extent. I'm in a much better place mentally. I have kind of rid myself and cleansed my timeline. I've spent quite a bit of time muting certain pages and creators on my account, not out of disrespect, but just in terms of just like protecting my mental faculties and my peace. I'm tired of my mom calling me saying so-and-so saying this about you, or I saw your face on this page and they're lying about you and it's concerning. And with that, and it's like my poor parents are going to do that. Parents do that stuff. But I don't care. So, you know what I mean? Like I'm over a lot of this stuff. So I'm just happy to, create and make, more content that, is focused on the stuff I want to talk about and have an audience and create a community of people that care about things I have to say and care about each other. So let's just continue to do that. Keep calling in. I love the follow-ups too. Thank you, Brandon, for being the first follow-up caller. If you also have something that I've answered and you want to follow up, the Knicks girl and I keep DMing. I know I've given her a shout out on Instagram. Her and I keep DMing. The Knicks just got smacked by the Cavs pretty embarrassingly. But we're still up there. We're still a good team in the league. We still got room to grow. We need to grow quite a bit. But her and I have been messaging quite a bit. I plan on going to a Knicks game. By the time this episode comes out, I'll probably be there tomorrow at the Garden on against the 76ers. Fuck Philly, you know how that goes. Appreciate y'all, and let's keep rocking, guys. Have a great week. I'll see you throughout the week. I'm gonna try to do another live stream. I've been very busy about some stuff I don't want to talk about. I don't want to make public, but I just know I've been busy and I'm working a lot. Peace.